Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny. Today's topic is going to be one we have been wanting to cover for a long time. And Johnny put a little twist on it, right? Live selling. So all the platforms basically have live selling now. Even Amazon has, you can, you know, influencers can sell products live, like QV type style stuff. You got Wonderful, Whatnot, where people make a killing, you know, turning and burning through inventory they get for cheap. You even have eBay Live, right? So every platform kind of Poshmark Live. We had people on that were successful doing that. Every platform has it now. And I think it's something we need to talk about. And not only live selling, but live sourcing. People source from Whatnot, right? That's a 100% people's business models today. There's people on Whatnot every single day sourcing items to resell that they're buying on Whatnot and selling for more money themselves, because the idea of live selling is, okay, I'm getting my DVDs for next to nothing, so I can sell it for next to nothing, and I'm just turning through my inventory and making money. That's kind of the big spiel when it comes to why people do live selling. So, Johnny, you can take us away here and get us into it.
So you went in the other direction I was thinking about with it. I was thinking more of your Facebook, your Craigslist, because you got to go out and get it, right? That's live in person. You're talking about live on the computer, which both are valid, but see, there's different ways to do it. Because yeah, even if you're selling your duds on Facebook Marketplace, somebody will probably has value in getting those because they're the consumer most of the part. If they're the reseller, they're going to be a sad panda bear when they get your stuff. But they should know what they're doing. They should know the questions they ask. They should at least scan a couple things before handing over money. So it'll be a educational cost if they don't. But anyway, getting into it. So live selling, live sourcing. I'm going to start on the physical side, which I already started with, which is online. Your first avenue is Facebook, right? Doing the doom scroll. Let's type in a keyword. This could be interactive if you're at home. Type in the word book. Sort your radius. I don't want to drive more than X amount of miles. And then sort with local pickup only. And then you could, this is an advanced step, set a dollar range into it. So I don't want to spend more than $100. So put in $100 as far as your maximum, or put in as far as your minimum. I want to spend at least $100, right? So you, two different ways to think about it. And then these things will appear. And then it comes to vetting these things, right? Looking at them one by one by one. After you've been doing this a while, it's just like scroll wheel. Oh, there's something interesting. Right click, open in a separate window. Get about 10 of these up. And then start reading their ad, message them, and you're going to want to send probably a message lower than what they have offered and see if they bite. Or you're good with spending, well, he's wanting to charge $100, but that is a whole house full of books. I'll gladly give that sir or ma'am $100 for that. That's step one. And then step two is actually going there and hope to the high heavens that it's in the location that they gave you, and or you're meeting up in a public space, like in front of a firehouse or something, a police department or a library or someplace public if you're uncomfortable going to their home. And then inspecting the goods, you're going to get all kinds of people. You're going to get the best of people. You're going to get the worst of people. It's just how it is. And then if the stuff looks legit, you pay the sir or ma'am their money. I prefer cash, because that's a lot easier to figure out. I only do Cash App. I only do Venmo. I rule out that song and dance by just handing them cash money, because cash is king, right? And then you drive off and you cackle to yourself on your way home, like, ha 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 ha, I got lots of inventory on the cheap. That's one version of live selling, or live sourcing rather. And we'll kick it over to Mike, because I'm sure he wants to hit the
online. I mean, you got like, you can also look at it like people go to auction houses, right? That's live. It's me bidding against somebody else. Storage units, right? Like Storage Wars, like why 95% of people got into resale and that stupid fake show. Like, you're bidding on storage units live in real time. Live selling is an opportunity. Live buying is an opportunity. I'll tell you right now, I hate dealing with people on Facebook, Johnny. Like, so I don't get rid of my duds no more. I put it on Facebook, like, free. Come pick these up. The amount of people that are just flake out on you, it's such, I can't even get rid of things for free on there because people are like, yeah, I want them. Yeah, I'll come. And then they never show up. You never hear from them again. Like, I hate that aspect of live selling because you have to deal with somebody else, you know, kind of working around your schedule. But if you do go to like an auction, you're there, things are being ran on time. But for me, I was thinking more along the terms of, you know, the new, I mean, it's not a new craze because Whatnot's kind of been going strong here for probably over a year now. And I think a lot of people thought it was just going to be a fad, but I think it's kind of revolutionized a lot of people's businesses. And I think it's a great opportunity if it's done correctly. Because yet again, here we are as resellers. Anybody can resell, anybody can have a Whatnot channel. So what happens here, Johnny, is you get the people that are really successful. And then you get the people that try it and they have no success at all. And, you know, you kind of just blame the system or whatever it may be. But I have personally done research on this topic. And Johnny's grinning over there, holding it in because he made fun of me the day I sat down for the whole day and went down the Whatnot universe when it comes to selling books on Whatnot, right? So you go over to Whatnot, right? Type in book. I'm pulling up live streams, right? He probably laughed all day long because he knew how much of a shit show it was going to be.
Oh yeah.
And he was 100% correct, right? So I'm going to give you guys a few examples of what was going on, right? I had one, somebody's trying to sell these shitty old books. There's a baby crying. Like, this is live, right? So, like, this is real time, right? Like, if I'm sitting here and, you know, I don't know, people are shooting guns, there's naked people running behind me. I don't know, miniature pony, people riding miniature ponies, whatever's going on, right? Like, this is real time. So I approached every single stream to see, like, okay, well, what's really going on out there? Because I'm in the book space, right? I'm in the media space. I'd like to have a little bit of an idea. I had a baby crying in one. Had another one, his wife was yelling at him to end the stream, right? Like, get off that damn phone. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm just trying to sell some books here. They weren't set up professionally at all. I think there does need to be some type of standard, right? Like, I got people that were doing sales that have like loud music playing, their phone's dying in the middle of their Whatnot stream, right? So you're trying to sell stuff and your phone is dying. Like, it just completely ends. What a disaster, chaos, nonsensical waste of time for 98% of people on that platform. Not everybody, because there is success to be had, right?
Yes.
If we look at the people that are successful in this, they're getting large amounts of inventory at prices that can't be beat. So they're fine with turning their items quickly through live selling. Sure, you don't get all of the money, but they don't care about getting all the money. They'll take some of the money because they're still making money, and that inventory is gone out the door. It is such a fine balancing act. I think live selling is the hardest type of reselling there is. I think you got to have a personality, you got to have something about yourself, and you got to have quality products that are desired that you're getting for so cheap that you don't need to get all the money every single time. And that is such a hard combination to kind of figure out. And there's people I've seen successful with it usually are larger sellers, right? Like, it would be hard for me to consistently go live. And this is something you got to be consistent with, right? Because people want to know who you are. You're building your brand. You're building yourself as a brand at that point. And I think with Whatnot, people think they can just pop on for one stream or once here and there, wherever they feel like, you know, they should do it and they're going to get results. And I think that's the biggest lie ever. Like, if there's something that's going to be a pain in the ass, hard to build, it's going to be your own brand in a live selling environment. That ain't easy. Listen, I've been doing YouTube for 4 years now. I got thousands of videos and I have less than 8,000 subscribers, right? Like, and I put everything out there that I possibly can. You think you're just going to go start and switch over to a platform and just start selling your junk? And I think that is another catch 22, is people take their junk there thinking somebody else is going to buy it. But Johnny said it earlier. It's not only selling, it's people buying that are resellers. So they are looking for quality items. that they can buy and then get all of the money for those items. So it's
Yes.
not like your typical person that's sitting at home, right, watching QVC that's just shopping. A lot of the people on that platform are other resellers. That's my two cents on it.
No, and I think my takeaway from your whole spiel there is I think live selling is the hardest form of reselling. And we'll look at Whatnot, for example, right? You start it, you have no audience. Not only do you have to do everything a normal reseller does, you have to build the buyer base yourself. You got to follow people. You got to advertise on social media. You got to go on podcasts like this one. Hey, you Whatnot sellers, you want to come on the podcast? Let's drop a thing in the comment. Let's see if we can get shaken. And I only know a couple people that make Whatnot work, and they're younger than me. It's a grind. They talk about it, but they do over six figures. They do decent six figure money. They don't do it in books. The ones I know personally, they do. One's a card seller, one's a video game seller, but they say they make the most of their money on their $6, $4 items, but they're not in it $6 or $4 in the first place. That's the big difference. And then they have their bangers, and sometimes they underperform, sometimes they overperform. Sometimes they wonder why they got 20 bucks for Call of Duty. Everybody was drunk in the audience that night. That's a $4 game. But it happens, and that's just that game. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but on the average, you're going to make a decent amount of money. But those guys worked it hard. And there's a couple people in the book and magazine space that are doing decent numbers as well. I'm not going to lie there, but I think you put it right. You don't sell junk on these platforms. You got to put a lot of work into it. 6 months plus, probably, of just follow me back, please. Or, hey, I'm doing a stream. I'll put it out on 10 social media platforms and maybe I'll get five additional people to come. if you're okay with not making great money up front, but you realize you're building an audience, Whatnot and similar things is probably for you. And I think the couple people I mentioned, they got banned from Amazon. So is it eBay or do I try this Whatnot thing? Well, I've done eBay before. I know what that's like. I can't go back. So what am I left with? It's Whatnot.
Oh man, you put me on the spot here. You didn't ask it, but I'll ask it for you. If I get banned from Amazon, would I rather sell on eBay or whatnot?
Those are the choices.
Where do you think I'm going?
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
That's a hard one for you because
Where do
I
you think
know
I'm
you a little
going?
bit. It's like you don't want to do work, and both are work.
Where do you think I'm going? It's not a hard
I
one
think
for
you're
me.
going to do Whatnot because it doesn't confine you to a daily listing goal.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I won't even think twice. eBay is a grind, whatnot. Like I can at least, somebody buys something, Deb can smack me over the head with an inflatable like sledgehammer, right? Something like that. Like I'd be full blown. Listen, I am personally, after I sat there and did my 8 hours of research on whatnot, I am embarrassed as a bookseller for how pathetic
The book
the
community.
dude. I don't, maybe my expectations were too high, right? Like, but I mean, you got to give me something here, man, right? Like, it's live selling. I mean, look at people that live sell, right? These are personalities, these are characters, right? They got a little bit of oomph in their voice. They know what they're talking about and what they're selling. They actually believe in that it's worth to the customer. And what I seen was the complete opposite in the book space. It was people just trying to move junk and that don't work, and it ain't easy to find good inventory that some random 20 people on the internet might buy from you, because at the end of the day, it's not like you have millions of people in your streams. Like the most I seen in one of the book streams was like 50 people. Like that's nothing. That's nobody, right? Like, so you got
There are
50
50
people.
wallets there. How can I at least get a dollar out of each wallet?
Exactly. Like, you don't have a huge pool to appeal to, right? So I think it's a great platform for a lot of sellers. I really do. And I think those sellers are seeing the results, and that's why you see them doubling down. But I think the idea that me or you can just go on Whatnot today and just put our phone up and say, "Hey, I am selling the History Channel DVD here. I'm going to run this for 10 seconds. Go." And then nobody buys it. I mean, that's
I
the
saw
reality of it.
one once. It was, I couldn't look away. It was a train wreck. It was a bad train wreck. One, this lady was so nervous. She had shaky voice, right? You know what also goes with shaky voice? Shaky hands. And she had the phone camera and she was trying to show the object of the book and her hands are shaking. It's like, hold still, seizure woman. Hold still. What? I don't know what I'm looking at here and I can't understand you. She was so terribly nervous. She should not have gone there, or at least did a dry run. I could tell this is probably like maybe one out of three of her first streams. Don't know which one, but I felt so bad for her. I wanted to close the window, but I couldn't. It was, I guess I got obsessed with, okay, how much more downhill can this go? She dropped the phone a couple times. She at one point got her stuttering got the best of her. And this woman didn't have a natural stutter. It was, you could tell it's because of the anxiety. And she couldn't read the title. I think after 30 minutes, she just shut it off. Like she just gave up, and good for her for giving it up.
Maybe you can be the pillar of the book selling community when it comes to, you know, because you're on podcasts, you understand content creation, like kind of give people the realistic expectation of, okay, if we're going to live stream here, let's have something set up, kind of little nice setup here. Don't play music, because listen, if I start playing the music I like, Johnny, right? Tarzan boys playing, right? Like all this terrible music that nobody wants to listen to. But you think, oh, everybody likes this music, right? And then here I am in the Whatnot stream, and you know, they're playing God knows what type of music, and you're just like, it instantly turns people off. I think in the book space, it's talked about as in, oh, just go start Whatnot, right? And like it just magically happened. I don't think there's enough actual content that's created around brand building, around having a proper professional stream set up, around things like that. So I think people jump into it. And I mean, look at the people that are successful with it, right? We all know some of the big players out there. They're doing giveaways. They got interactive things, right? Like you buy something, we spin this mystery wheel, and you get like an extra prize. It's like it's more than selling, it's interacting. It's like,
And the
yeah.
ones I see do gangbusters, I see them do silly things like car giveaways. Freaking cars, man. It's the Price is Right over here. I mean, and they get a lot of traction, and that auction does great. But does it? I don't know their cost of goods behind that free car. Like, how much did they pay to get that car in the first place? And did they make that money plus their normal plus bonus money for bringing a car on? Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's the Wild West over there, to be honest, and it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I've seen two formats that work great. One, it's a stationary camera and there's a voice, sometimes an occasional hand on there. And then one's the full body and the person's holding the object. But in either way, it's either focused on the personality, which is usually the full body person, or it's focused on the item itself. And the voice kind of backing up the item in the background. But either way you go, the camera still. Do not shaky cam. Don't hold the camera yourself. If you need to get in an angle or show something special, that's the exception to the rule, in my opinion. Like, here's the copyright page proving it's a first edition. Sure. But outside of that, your camera should be stationary. You should have your items beside you ready to go, man. It's one right after the other. None of this 30-second lag time. Oh, let me go move it off the stack, pull it out, because we're waiting. We're waiting to bid. And the longer you take, the less interested I get. I don't care how many good items you have, or maybe I do, but man, am I mad at you for taking so long? No music, like you said. Nobody wants to hear my ghetto 69 boys, damn it, be a gangster in the background. or
I'm just
Amish
gonna play
Paradise.
Gangnam Style the whole time.
Right. No one wants to hear that because everybody, music's subjective, just like art. People like it or hate it, and maybe they hate what you're playing. And you gotta have quality items. You can throw in the junk items, but throw it in with the good stuff as like a bonus freebie.
I think that's the biggest thing. All the people I see, now I'm not that deep ingrained and whatnot, but I do see some of the people and their success stories in the YouTube videos. They are selling quality, name brand, well-known type brands, well-known type items, and they are getting the results. Like Johnny said, sure, we don't know their back end, but I mean, unless they're literally just bleeding money from their business, which I know most of them aren't, but I mean, think about it, right? Video games, well sold after collectible category, cards, right? Name brand clothing, name brand shoes, like
Jewelry.
those seem jewelry. Those seem to be like the big knockouts when it comes to being successful on that platform. I'm not saying you can't be, there's some booksellers out there that I'm sure make, some type of money on whatnot, but the majority of it, and we get a lot of people over in the group that are like, hey, should I do whatnot? And the answer every time is, well, are you ready to commit to 6 months, maybe even longer, to grow a following? Because that's all that platform is. Are you ready to give away money? Right? Like, because you need people to show up in the beginning. And if I was going to start whatnot, right? Like, I got a pile of signed books down here, right? Like, I'm giving away a signed, whatever book. I got the guy from Crosby, Stills and Nash. Like, I'm giving away items that are valuable that I got for nothing because I got these from my connections, my library pickups, my bulk pickups, and I can do that because I'm not into them for anything. But that is the reality of growing a brand. And I think people think it's a lot easier than it is. And you can just turn on the camera. You could have the best items, but if you just decide today to just turn on whatnot, they're not going to sell. And if they do, they're going to be for a fraction of what they're actually worth. So you need a following to almost allow you to get more for your items, regardless of the quality of items. Sure, having quality in the beginning, that's just a piece of it because there's so much more you talked about, like self-promotion, social media, scheduling streams, having things listed ahead of time. I mean, it's crazy to me how much work goes into it, and people think they can just pop on over there and just get results. And with anything, dude, it takes time, right? Like, it's going to take time to grow any type of business. And people think they can just pop on live selling for once or twice a month and have some type of crazy success with it. And I don't think that's the case by any stretch of the imagination.
So yeah, let's talk about more forms of live selling, like brick and mortar.
Yeah, dude.
That's a form of live selling. If you're doing the antique mall, you may or may not be present for that, but let's say you are. So that's a form of live selling. Again, kind of like whatnot, you're the salesman or woman, right? You gotta sling your wares or have proper signage or have things organized or have a good value and price, like buy four, get the fifth one free kind of deal. You got to upsell either your product or yourself. Some people are better than one or the other. If you're a quieter person, you probably just want to have good deals. If you're the talkity-talk person, I fall in this category, you want to upsell it. Like, hey, this is a great book. Let me tell you about it. And here's a trick I learned, and I'm going to give this to you all. Because I used to run the convention circuit with back when my book publishing days. But at the booth, here's a trick we used to do. If somebody was browsing our stuff, we'd pick the most expensive book and we'd walk over to them, put it in their hands, and like, let me tell you about this book, sir or ma'am. And you're upselling the book. They got the book in their hand, right? 80% of the time they buy the book because we placed it in their hands. Same deal, same song and dance, and not handing the book in their hands, then buy it. But that one little thing, placing the book in their hands, and then doing the song and dance expository thing made them buy it 80% of the time. It was the stupidest thing, but something psychological with it.
It's a tough line to kind of walk when it comes to live selling because, right, if I go set up an antique booth, right, how much time am I going to put into it versus how much I'm going to get back out of it? Right? You're not going to know until you know. You're not going to know until you try these things. I just caution everybody that give something a real test run. And then if it doesn't work, you have to make the decision to kind of throw it to the side. But I do, live selling is, it's great. I mean, you can even consider flea markets live selling, right? You're
Oh,
there.
yeah.
You're negotiating a price right then and there with somebody. I mean, lots of resellers, rely solely on flea markets and those types of relationships. That's how you win, right? Like, that's how you're going to come out ahead. Because through live selling, you build these ongoing relationships that no longer need it to be live, right? Like, I got the relationship at the auction house. I don't got to be at the auction like everybody else fighting over the stuff. My stuff's set in the back. They know I'm coming to buy it every single time. So it's almost like a doorway to you having to the need to be there all the time to just being, oh, we don't need to sell this storage unit because we know Johnny's going to buy it from us at X amount of dollars. We don't have to. They don't have to spend their time trying to sell it to somebody, and you don't have to spend your time trying to go buy it because you built that relationship from showing up day in, day out and say, hey, come on over. You know, like you see it when Tech does his flea market videos, right? Like they're like, hey, they shoot him a text. He's like, yeah, first thing there, he's there. They know he's buying every single piece because he says, hey, I'm looking for this brand, right? I'm looking for these hats. Hey, shoot him a text. We got your hats. The stuff's still in the, they're still sitting in their truck. They don't put it out because they know he's coming by to scoop it up. But the way he got that was showing up and having a live conversation. And I think a lot of us, you know, I think we live in a society that's, you know, anxiety ridden. And, you know, Deb even told me this morning, she's reading this book about like the human attention span is like, I think she said it was like 8 seconds or something crazy like that, right? Like after
Barely over
eight,
goldfish.
like, it's funny. She even said the goldfish thing. And it's like, we can't tolerate like just sitting here and just existing. And I'm 100% like guilty of this, right? Like it doesn't help that we have the podcast, we have the group, we have the YouTube channel. Like I'll just be listing stuff and I gotta have something else open, something else playing. And to counteract of that is like that's what live selling is, right? Like it's the dopamine of raising my paddle to bid on something, right? Like winning a live auction. It's how QVC became an HSN. Like you can just buy it right here, right now, right through the TV, right? Like that's the appeal of it. I love live selling. I think it's, I won't lie. I turn on QVC every once in a while to see what they're slinging. And Deb usually laughs at me, but like their personalities, it's a form of entertainment, right? Like they
What?
provide an entertainment
Billy
value.
Mays and his OxyClean.
Or the slap chop guy, right? Like that's what live selling is. But you can source from that. I got people I know personally in the group that source off Whatnot every single week. I won't say what it is because I'm not going to out their business models, but the categories they sell in, they will go on Whatnot and buy it for $2 or $3 a piece. And these items are 30 plus dollar items on Amazon. And all you got to do is pop into the stream and say, hey, do you have XYZ? Can you run it for me? There you go. There might be one other person in there looking for that same thing, but you're going to get it way under market value. I'm curious. I'm surprised you don't do more Whatnot arbitrage.
My thing about that is it's slow, even at like 10-second auctions. Because I if they have their ducks in a row and I know my item is way down here, it still takes, I don't know, half an hour to get to it. Let's say I showed up on time. Or hey, it's off at the start, or I don't know, I just find it terribly slow. I've done it before, and yeah, great deals, great value, but it's slow in my opinion, even though it's live, right? It's so much faster to do it on eBay. I'd rather pay eBay up to be faster. It's what it comes down to. Because I do source on eBay and I source from people that just send me random messages too. What I'm curious on, we talked about it a while ago, and I don't know if you heard anything back on it, but remember when we talked about reverse garage selling, like, hey, just setting up some tables and I'm buying? And promoting the hell out of that. I don't, did anybody ever say they did that?
Me and you will make a pledge right here, right now, that we both will try this come summertime.
Okay. Sure.
And then we'll have real life experience. But no, nobody's tried that. Not that I know of. Not that any. I've gone to more flea markets this year than I have my whole life, and I haven't seen anything like that yet.
Yeah, and the stuff you don't want, you can sell that stuff on
I
another table.
mean, I guess, wait, I guess I take that back because there are a few booths in the antique mall. Like, they don't have much, but they're like junk companies. So, like, it's almost like a promotion thing, right? Like,
Oh,
so they'll
okay.
have like business cards and what they do. Like they'll have banners up in
So
like
it's
their
like a
antique.
display. There is paid advertisement, like a billboard.
Yeah,
Okay.
they really don't give a shit about selling stuff because they really never really have much in there. And it's funny because what they do is dirt cheap. And I usually always get like they only have like 20 things at most. It's like an 8x6, we'll say. And they only have like 20 little things in there. And but they got their business cards, they got their company logo, the phone number. It's almost like a promotional thing
Okay, I
that
just
just
want a
them.
giant banner that says, I buy books. Phone number.
What better place to put it than in one of these antique malls where it's nothing but hoarders trying to sell their junk, right? So like it's that's another aspect of it is, that's their brand building, like we kind of talked about, right? Whether that's Whatnot or whether that's an antique mall, whether that's a flea market. Because what happens here is if you set up every single week and you're buying items, all of a sudden word gets out that, yo, this dude down at the flea market, he's here every week. He's, buying books, CDs, DVDs, he's going to pay you cash from the spot. It'll take time, but you get traction, word of mouth spreads, and all of a sudden you got a live sourcing opportunity. And it was the same when you had the books front, right? Like you told people you buy their stuff and they would just give you it, right? They don't even care about, they're
Try
just
to give
like,
money. They're like, no, just take our stuff. Leave us alone.
yeah. And you're like, can you please just take like a box of books on the way out? They're like, no, we don't want your stuff even
No
if it's
more.
free.
No
Yeah.
more.
It's a whole nother opportunity. I think that's what appeals to you so much with the grand plans of you wanting to have like multiple locations where you take trade-ins and you have a little storefront where you can sell some of the items that aren't worth it to sell online. That's the whole reason behind it. It's not because you want to be a bookstore owner. You just know your sourcing instantly levels up
Fast.
immediately.
It's fast. It's so fast. They walk in, drop it on the floor sometimes. I didn't even get a chance to say hello.
It's nuts. And we got people in the group that do this too. We got some crazy good ideas out there that people are executing in the group when it comes from almost live sourcing, but you really don't even have to pay for the inventory. You give inventory away and people give you the inventory. It's nuts, man. It's
See, I like
crazy.
your antique mall idea, and here's what I would do. I would have the giant sign that's the center of attention, and then I have a bunch of junk books. It just says free. All free. Take as many as you want, please. And it's just, I get people to come over to the booth that way. Hey, free stuff, right? Let's see what they got. Plus, they see my giant ass sign of I buy books, phone number.
Yeah, Johnny's Junk Hauling Company. Johnny's Junk.
Yeah. And I know I'm going to get in the comments, well, you're just going to be buying your own books back sometimes. But I guarantee you, most of the time, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, those people are gonna lose anyway, dude. I think that the idea that's like the scarcity mindset. Yeah, because the people coming in there to buy your to take your books for free don't have a whole house full of books, right? Like, come on,
They're
they're just gonna
hoarders.
yeah. I mean, let's get real now, especially in our category. I think it's fun and exciting, though. I like live selling it. It's definitely more fun than eBay.
I
I
mean,
mean,
you've done some garage sales, like you had them all lined up. And then
yeah,
when you're done, you're like, just free, take it.
just free. Yeah, I mean, I made probably like $60 sitting out front, right on my sidewalk, and just had boxes of brand new books that I got for nothing. I paid 15 cents a pound. I was selling them for a dollar a piece, and then I put them free. And I basically everything got wiped out. I mean, I made a little bit of money, and it's nice to have conversation, but it's not for everybody, dude, right? Like you said, like some people try to do
Some
this.
people hate that, yeah.
You got to have a converse, like it's a conversational thing. And it's almost like you need the trade of talking because there's nobody else to talk to, right? It's like if I do a podcast myself, I have to almost have a conversation with myself. Well, that's kind of what you're doing. Like, sure, you might have people in the chat asking questions, but it's more or less like, hey, here's what I got. Anybody interested in it? Like, you need the personality behind it. And I can see why people are kind of, turned off from that side of it. And I would just say to that, like, it's okay. You don't got to live sell and keep doing what you're doing. But don't think that live selling is just going to be, you can be a little hermit and not say anything and just show the CD and they just don't say nothing and just be like, all right, here you go. 10 seconds, 7, 2. All right, next one. And it, like, that's not, you're not going to get results.
And there's another whatnot tip or any kind of live selling tip. Read the chat, please. Even if it's reading it out loud, because sometimes people have questions, and if you ignore their questions, you've ignored that individual, and they're going to take one of the six wallets from your stream away because you're not paying attention answering their critical need to know, I want to spend money with you kind of question. I see this a lot. They're too busy running the show and they ignore the chat. They're just trying to get through the stream. And you got some guy every 15 minutes asking the same question that goes unanswered. And then the show's over. That person ain't coming back to your stream ever. They
Yeah,
wanted to
man.
spend money with you, but you didn't take the 2.6 seconds to answer their question.
So the question comes down to when it comes to live selling and live buying items, right? Like, It's, I'll tell you right now, like, I've never been to one of these auctions where you bid on stuff, right? Like, I've seen the shows. Like, I've never personally been to like a storage auction or like any place where I get a little paddle with a number on it and I can bid on things. I think it'd be cool and exciting. I might get carried away, right? I'm one of these suckers, Johnny, right? I'm like, I really want that item, right? And Deb's like, give me that damn paddle. And I just keep putting it up. And she's like, what are you doing? I think I would get suckered in. And that's, like you said, sometimes you sell items for more, but most of the time you sell them for less. And I don't know if live selling is like a trainable. Could I train every, I asked myself, could I train, could we train everybody to be successful live selling? And I don't think you can, because I think it's a type of personality trait that you gotta have, that you're like outgoing and you don't, you can't, you just keep going, you keep talking, a high energy, like, because in addition, even if you got good energy, good items, right? But your energy sucks, like, you're not going to sell anything. And then it's vice versa. If you got good energy, but your items suck, you're still not going to sell anything. So you got to kind of have like a recipe. So the idea that maybe you build almost like a course around live selling, I think that would be a little bit skewed, because everybody's different. Everybody's got a different personality, right? And you can't train, it's hard. You can't, it's not that you can't, right? Because you can train anything. It's much harder to train somebody to be a great live seller than it is just to go fill a box with random CDs and send them off to Amazon.
When I went to California, I stayed with a friend in Arizona, and in the morning we went to her auction place, and how it ran was like this. Everything was set up in advance. There was a start time, and then you just had crowds of people, and then the auctioneer, we went from table to table to table. Everything was outside at first, and then it snaked on inside. Finally got around to the books. It was what I've been waiting. You're allowed to look at everything in advance, but you got to wait, just like whatnot, you got to wait till that table or that box comes up before you can even bid on it. And you may have to wait an hour. You may have to wait an hour and a half to get to it. Anyway, I came up to the books and he's like, all right, books. And I'm like, $1. And he's like, for what? All of them. And he's like, sold. He didn't even allow anybody else to bid. And then he shook my hand. Thank you for buying these. I haven't had anybody buy books in so long. I'm like, you're welcome. Took it back to her place, sorted them. She put the shit I didn't want in her donation pile. I took the rest home or to California with me and back again to Texas.
Oh man, it's like, so like, what outweighs itself more? Is there a bigger opportunity sourcing live or selling live? I think it just depends on your business model and what you have going on. I think you can be really successful live selling. I think once you get live selling going and you have a consistent flow of inventory where you can consistently have a schedule that is consistent, understand what I'm saying here, consistency, consistent, that is the main the word of the day, I guess, when it comes to live selling. If you're going to live sell, you have to be consistent. And even with the sourcing, right? Because not all, like Johnny even said, you're going to have to wait some time. So I just see you as like, you ever see the meme of the guy that's got like 30 cell phones and he's like clicking on them all? Like, that's you, like, on whatnot, trying to source from like 30 different streams.
They're all on mute. I'm just looking at the product and the price.
It's a great opportunity to sell and buy, but both take a little bit of work and a little bit of knowledge behind it. And if you're going to sell, there's more characteristic traits that you need to have versus just being the box guy like I like to be. But I mean, it's more exciting for sure. I mean, I don't know who would say live selling is less exciting than listing on eBay. I mean, what is exciting about listing on eBay? Nothing.
Ching.
Live selling, at least I can play Tarzan Boy and piss off the three people I have in my stream, right? Like, you can have some fun with it. And I don't know, maybe things have changed, Johnny, but as a bookseller, what I've seen out there and whatnot, I think there's a lot of opportunity for somebody to come along and be like the prominent person. I mean, there are a few in the space now that see some results, but I still think there's a lot of room for growth in that category. And I think it's a good opportunity for somebody that has the characteristics, likes to talk to people, has a little bit of swagger, personality, a little bit of style in what they do, a little bit of care in what they do. They set things up nicely, nice little background, nice little backdrop, are knowledgeable about the items they're selling. I think it's a great opportunity. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's here to stay. And I know a lot of people still are on the fence about live selling, but I think what we said about the attention span, live selling appeals to that, right? 10 second auctions. Our brain, we know 10 seconds, something else is coming up. I'm ready to bid, right? It appeals to the human mind that we have now and the human need to always be clicking on something on the phone or always be doing something. I think that cements that live selling isn't going anywhere.
Right, and I'm going to program AI to attend all these live auctions so I don't have to.
You just Johnny AI has entered the chat, and then everything he wants, he's gonna win. He just says, I'm surprised there probably are bots that scour whatnot, like kind of like the other
Probably.
reselling platforms, and just bid on items that they know are kind of worth it and just market a value. I don't know. That's gonna do it for this episode. Live selling, live sourcing. We'd love to do it. I guess I'll end this on this cocky note. If I was a live seller, dude, I'd be knocking it out the park. And I have all the little gimmicks and everything going on, right? I do the full 10, everything I possibly could. I won't be giving away no cars or whatnot, right? But maybe I don't know, I'll give away a Ricola or something. Whatever people,
Ricola.
just give something away, right? You got to keep the people entertained. I think you would be successful live selling as well because you have the knowledge. You know a lot of stuff about books, and you do have a personality. You wouldn't be on this podcast. If you were just monotone, dude, I would have, we would have had to bring you into the office and fire you a long time ago. But you got a little spunk in there, right? I think you think you'd be successful on whatnot.
I think I would be, yeah. But my dollars per hour I know better spent on Amazon.
Exactly.
The time I have left over, I got my little paperbacks I like doing on eBay. Could I do my little paperbacks and whatnot? Maybe, but I had to pump more time than I pump into eBay doing it.
Yeah, that's all it comes down to for us is like how much money can we make doing whatnot versus eBay versus Amazon. And for us currently, we're just stick with what works. But I think for somebody that's looking for a new opportunity, maybe aren't getting the results, I think it's a good chance to get out there, see what you can do with it. But just understand it's going to take time. We will talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.